Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This show was also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org, 1798part2.org, and republicreview.org. You are listening to the only show that asserts the only, and I mean that, the only constitutional solution of getting the federal government back into compliance to its constitution. The number to call in today is 215-867-8255. And I will tell you, tomorrow I will begin the airing of a series of interviews and content regarding Mitchell Gerber and his fight against the Chinese live organ harvesting. It's not just his, it's actually a worldwide effort, but it seems like in the United States, it is one of those things that is constantly being downplayed and or not aired at all. And that's really sad because every human being shares inalienable rights, as we believe that all people were created equal and are endowed by their creator. That means all of us share that same creator. We all share those same inalienable rights. And there are people around this world that are literally political prisoners, that are literally nothing but organ keepers for those who are part of the elitist society that can actually go in and then their life is literally taken so that somebody else can, and obviously somebody that the elitists believe are more worthy of life than these political prisoners in China. Well, so before we go too far into that content, I'm going to get into that tomorrow. So you'll definitely want to tune in and listen to what Mitchell has to say. And then we'll also be playing down the road a few different segments of content and follow-on interviews and so forth. So what I want to do is I want to actually kind of cover the Wyoming election for what it stands, or as it stands currently, because I still haven't seen the official announcement of who won what and so forth. But I will say this, that the progressive establishment candidate, Scott Gordon, who is... It's not good news for the state of Wyoming, especially for those who are, you know, lovers of the Constitution. I have not heard anybody say anything in the positive regarding Scott in leading on conservative values. He is a progressive establishment, and it's unfortunate, but I will also say that the residency issue really did hurt Taylor Haynes. I mean, big time, because he did not get nearly the level of support. I mean, he got his base support, but there's no doubt that the residency is really what did do him in, unbeknownst to him, moving into the election. But that being what it is, I don't think it either. It didn't help Harriet Hegman either, because... because she was the one that really brought it forward. And so there were people that were kind of turned off by both camps. For what it's worth, Foster Freeze, President Trump's preferred candidate, President Trump's backed candidate for the Wyoming governor, was second place. But here's the interesting thing. I need to try to get back with Rex Ramel, who had actually been a part of the interview process here. And I want to get back to him regarding his position and hopefully have him step up, because I truly believe that he can do a landslide on the conservative voters in Wyoming. I truly believe that if you understand what happened, and I haven't done the analysis yet because I'm really waiting for the official results. Supposedly, there were a lot of people that had switched parties so that they could vote for Scott Gordon and get Gordon into office instead of a real conservative. So there was a huge I will say, bulletin that went out from all of the different news agencies and the progressives within the state of Wyoming that was literally broadcasting, hey, if you're a Democrat, switch parties, you still have up to this date to do it so that you can go vote and vote for Scott Gordon, because they knew that they would have a progressive in office if they went down that path. So anyway, long story short, it didn't work out the way I wanted, but I will say this, that we did get two seats. I was hoping that I knew I'd have at least one, but we did get two seats into the state legislature. So now it's between now and the session of 2019, it is time to start building coalitions. So I'll be working with Clarence Staver and Marty Halverson. Those are the two that have committed to Republic Review and, you know, standing up for the Constitution and protecting their citizens from federal tyranny and all of that. These two candidates will, and actually Marty is an incumbent, so she will actually have an inside with all of those who she already knows that are conservative. So I'm going to be working with both of them in trying to build a coalition in actually creating the conversation in 2019 so that it actually can begin literally launching down this path of, let's just call it, calling for the audit. And who knows, we might actually be able to do it prior to 2020, and that would be a very good thing. I also want to kind of point out that if you haven't watched my video yet, and you still haven't had the epiphany yet that Republic Review really is the only solution, if you are not completely on board, and what does it take to influence you or to get you to actually become a believer in Republic Review, I will ask you that if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, go to the Take Action page, watch that video, just the first 30 minutes of it. That is my first presentation that really sets the stage. Then I ask that you go and read my bullet points or my outlines on the republicreview.org or reclaimingtherepublic.org, not republicreview.org, it's not up yet, but reclaimingtherepublic.org. If you go there and you read those, the outlines that I have right up top, and you look at the model and kind of understand this process, then I ask you to go read Jefferson's Kentucky Resolution of 1798. If you read that, then everything that I was telling you in my academic argument, my outlines and descriptions, everything that I was telling you will jump out of Jefferson's resolutions, and you will literally see that this is precisely what he did. That is why this really is the only constitutional solution. And it's not, I'd like to say, if Jefferson was alive today, he'd come online and say, yep, this is endorsed by me, Thomas Jefferson, because there is no doubt in my mind this is not only aligned with, but it is based on exactly the same fundamental principles of utilizing sovereignty at the constitutional republic level, getting the people engaged to getting the state engaged, which is what we need to do. I'll also do a little bit of groveling before we run out of time. And as you know, I could use support. I sound kind of crazy when it's just me, the only lonely man in the forest that is talking about this. Now, if you and a few other people are starting to talk about this, then that makes me a little less crazy. But if you start looking, and this is going to start growing out of Wyoming, and so when your friends approach you in the next 6 months to a year and say, hey, have you heard of this? You go, yeah, I've been listening to this guy for a while now. Get him and get them engaged, get them tuning in, get them educated, because it is a matter of literally just introducing these concepts. Because to me, I think the whole argument supports itself. When you start looking and peeling the onion back, it really gets to the root of the problem. It defines that the federal government is non-compliant, and our only solution is obtaining compliance. So if you've got time, you've got a computer, you've got a phone, you have basic resources, you can help, you can contribute. So I would ask that you reach out. Just send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I could have used a lot more support in Wyoming, but again, this is my first go around, and I'm still waiting for a few other organizations to be able to get more engaged and be more of a asset. And so that takes a little time to do that. I'm hoping that now that the primary is over, I'll be reaching out to the Red Pill University and start looking at getting that stuff ready and launched, hopefully after the general election. So we will have a set of core classes, core content, so that people can start actually, you know, pulling in from Red Pill University these concepts. There's all sorts of very good conservatives out there, constitutional conservatives, that really want to get engaged. They just don't know. They've not heard of this yet, or they have not had the epiphany, as many of you have. So with that, and before we go into the hard break, let me tell you, I did scan the news. I did look through it, and I've got a few comments to make, but there is no sign that the federal government is going to unleash all of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers that it has usurped from the state. So we have to do it, my friends. I need you to actually start standing up, and instead of calling for the ending of abortion, instead of calling for the stopping of Common Core or whatever that little thing is, if you want to get rid of all of those things, the only way to do that, because you'll never get rid of anything by going myopic on one small little issue or one small little topic. The government is far bigger and powerful, more powerful than that, so we have to go after their overall unconstitutional assertions, and that's how we do this. And so I need you to join me, but we will be going into a hard break, so please stay tuned, and I'll be right back with some of the news that is worth talking about. We'll be right back after this. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And before I get into the news, because I know I railed a little bit about Amazon yesterday, but before I get into continuing on that, let me point out that tomorrow I am beginning a little series of airing of Mitchell Gerber's fight. He has a humanity or a philanthropic organization that he's stood up, and he's working with a lot of other humanity or philanthropic organizations that are fighting against Chinese live organ harvesting. This is something you definitely want to hear about. I truly believe that we have to all start standing up as leaders and getting other leaders to stand up and demand that they stand up and say, we need to start treating China for all of their inhumane practices, and we need to actually hold them accountable. We stop giving them a pass. I mean, I'll just jump ahead and say it is an indictment on Apple that they're bending over backwards for China. Google the same way. These corporations are in lockstep, with the communist globalist movement. And we need to start holding them accountable, because bottom line, what they are doing and going in and helping China when they're doing these types of things, are you kidding me? Supposedly, these are the moral high ground corporations. They do not possess any morality. This is moral turpitude that these corporations have. And so you're definitely going to want to listen to this so that you can start using this as a fulcrum in leveraging other people to say, hey, enough. Quit buying that crappy iPhone, because all that doing is supporting a tyrannical government that is killing political prisoners for their organs so that they can sell their organs to other nations and people. And that is a huge indictment on how far we've gone down this immoral path and how bad China really is. There's just no doubt in my mind. And so that airs tomorrow. So you'll definitely want to tune in for that. And I'm going to talk about it a couple of more times, because our listenership actually grows throughout the hour. And I know some people have to drop off because they're having dinner or what have you. But I will tell you, you're definitely going to want to hear this, and you're definitely going to want to download the podcast and share that and get that out there into wherever your conservative voice travels, because this needs to be repeated as far as we can get this going. Now, I know, as I said earlier, that I railed about Amazon yesterday, but they're not the only ones. And they were one of the first. However, the real first corporation that had gotten in bed with socialism was Apple. If you understand what Apple did, and most people go, oh, that was so great that Apple gave away computers to the school system. Yeah, what Apple did was it was a great marketing ploy, but what Apple did was Apple actually created a brand loyalty to a lot of new customers, and that's why a lot of people that have Apple today that were the real loyalists back in the 90s were those who actually went through school and became familiarized with Apple and its superior user interface, because it really was superior compared to Windows, DOS, and so forth, which forced Windows to kind of get there. It also forced Linux and a lot of the other consumer OSs to get there as well, to become a very friendly user interface. But Apple was the first one that actually started getting into bed in helping promote the socializing, or I should say communism, within the school system. Even though they were just literally a platform, they actually helped by bringing that IT in, as well as they helped start the infrastructure so that they could start bringing in content and other types of curriculum data that was beginning to become available. Even though at the point in time it didn't seem that nefarious, if you look today, it has become the highway of nefarious content and curriculum material that is being indoctrinated into our children. And so there is no doubt that Apple was literally the first one that started coupling and marrying up with government. IBM saw them and raised them in the government arena, because they went after DOD. They gave away the Windows OS as well as the Windows applications, and then later on started getting subscriptions and so forth. So the government has been a huge facilitator in welcoming corporations into the communist realm. in becoming tools for the state, because that's what they are. If you understand what is going on in the Apple, Google, and especially if you understand what's going on in social media, there was a great article that was actually reported by John Rappaport in the Need to Know News, and that is the G. Edward Griffin news that you can go and sign up for. Go Google Need to Know News and you'll get some of these articles that I'm going to just give you a review on today, because this is stuff you're not hearing about in the news. But the journalist John Rappaport said that Google, Facebook, and other social media censors their critics, not only because they are left-leaning, but because they are an appendage of the state. And as a matter of fact, G. Edward Griffin went on to state that Rappaport argues that big tech and social media corporations are serving mainstream news outlets by silencing their competition and commentators like Alex Jones, Dennis Prager, and Stefan Molyneux. I think that's right. But anyway, you know me, I'm really bad with names, so forgive me, Stefan. Bottom line is that these corporations are really trying to create a biased narrative that supports their communism and getting everybody to be lulled into believing. Now, see, here's the interesting thing, that they're working harder and harder and harder, and they're exposing themselves more and more and more as people start looking and going, you've got to be kidding me. I can tell you the local news in Spokane is absolutely worthless. They continually grind the agenda for the progressives. Even Fox, they're all deep in the tank on the progressive establishment movement. And so to me, all they're doing is showing their hand, because they refuse to provide objective journalism. They always have to put the leftist spin on everything. As a matter of fact, there was a Second Amendment rally that I spoke at this last weekend, and the way they covered it had the leftist spin. Instead of actually talking about the real issues and the whole point of what we were trying to do, they wanted to tie it to white supremacists and everything else. And so I'm going, really? It's like you can't get the truth out of the left mainstream media, period. And as a matter of fact, I don't believe you're getting the real truth out of Fox News, because as I'm going to be reporting tomorrow on this Chinese organ harvesting, how many times have you heard Fox News talk about it? I know Alex Jones has talked about it, and I know other media has talked about it, but it's not like they keep it out in the forefront. And every time we talk about China here, that's going to be something that we always have to bring forward. Don't forget, China is doing this hideous thing, this insidious practice of taking political prisoners' organs for the benefit of money and buying affluence with corporations and elitists around the world. Anyway, Rappaport shows that Google, Facebook, and YouTube are deeply influenced by government intelligence agencies. Facebook received $13 million in 2004 from Excel Partners, which is indirectly funded by the CIA and DARPA, a research division of the U.S. military. Google works closely with the military industrial complex and has huge contracts with the U.S. national security apparatus. Rappaport concludes that Google and Facebook are nurtured creatures of the national security state. And so once you've become a part of the Borg, it becomes easier and easier to start predicting what they're going to do as that Borg has its strategy in moving it and pushing forward with its agenda. And we have to start calling these things out. And so if you're on Facebook, you may want to consider going to MeWe and start establishing yourself, start establishing groups there, and then slowly bring people over to MeWe. Because MeWe right now is the obscure little social media page or site that is actually uncensored. They're not out there promoting and they don't push crap on you. So at least at this point in time, they haven't really capitalized on that stuff. I think they're just waiting to grow a little bit, but still take advantage of it now. If you don't want to be censored and you do not want them to be spying on you, then MeWe is the better platform for you. I've just got a few more seconds to go. So before we get into the hard break, I'll just tell you that there is another story of a loss of liberty and a nation that has caved to communism. They're trying to do this stuff here. America will be the last country to fall if we are to fall. And the only process that will keep it from falling is the audit, or what I call Republic Review. But as you can tell, it's time for that hard break because there's that music that I love. That is Copeland's Fanfare for the Common Man. It was written for the socialist era of trying to get people to accept socialism during the FDR era. And so we will be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. So as I was leading into the break, I was mentioning that there is another story of lost liberty, and that story is coming to us from South Africa, where it is beginning its program of seizing owned farms. Now, I just kind of dropped something in front of that, because whatever happens when all of a sudden social justice, which is the redistribution of wealth and outcomes and so forth, whenever that happens, you will notice that what ends up happening, because if you go back into the history of Poland, when Poland was, when it toppled, actually Hungary was the country I'm thinking of, that when Hungary was toppled and became communist, I believe it was in the 50s, they literally took the agricultural farms, the farm properties and lands, and they divided it up amongst the poor so that the poor could take over. And the poor did a dismal job. They did not understand what it took to operate those farms, and their productivity went down. They didn't understand processes. All they did was they took advantage for themselves. They started eating the goose that was laying the golden egg for Hungary. And next thing you know, everybody was starving because there all of these poor managed farms. And there are reasons why people, who have the aptitude, usually, scratch their way up the food chain to becoming successful. And there are reasons why those people who have no drive and they don't have the aptitude to do what it takes, they tend to be very happy being indolent and living off of the dole. Well, all of a sudden, they were given all this property. Well, Hungary wasn't very happy. And so the people of Hungary, I should say, were not very happy. So the government then again stepped in. And these people who were given other people's property instantly started screaming murder. I mean, at least the original owners recognized that this was tyranny and unfortunately, they went along with it, but they had no other choice because government was using its force, which means that it was using whatever tools necessary to get the job done. You want to get in our way, we'll kill you. And so what ended up happening was these people started screaming bloody murder, and it didn't bode well. And Hungary had literally reeled back and forth, and they struggled with communism until the Iron Curtain fell. But the lessons that we learn from that is just the same lessons we've learned every time a country topples, because those who think they're entitled will take, and they will take from those who actually created, and they won't know, they don't appreciate and understand what it took to get there. That is why it is one of the real reasons of failure and blight within those types of regions. You want to see this in America? Go to Detroit. You want to see this in America? Go to Baltimore. Go to Seattle. Go to all of these cities that have been taken over by socialists and socialism in kind, and you will find that these cities are literally growing blight within them. They're diseased because they're allowing these things to happen. And what they're loving, like in Seattle, is they've become the hotspot for homeless people. I mean, if you live in Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, or someplace, and you're homeless, you got to get to Seattle because that's where you can do drugs. It's free. They hand out drugs. They'll give you fresh needles. They'll give you a little shack to stay. And all you got to do is go out in the street and poop and whatever and get your free meal on. And life is just great in Seattle if you have that mentality. And they love it because these people mainly make sure they get their votes so that they can maintain their power. And Seattle is literally being converted. And one of the things that's happening in Seattle, and I don't mean to just go down this rat hole, but this is really important. Seattle has gone after because they're really sucking for revenue. They're not making enough money. So they've really steeped up and increased the property taxes on the residents and the property in Seattle, on the residential properties and so forth. And so people are literally leaving their homes, or they're selling their homes, and they have to because they can't afford the property tax. So people are doing this mad dash. What ends up happening is the first few people that leave before everybody else starts catching on not to buy in Seattle. So they absolutely get away with selling their property because people don't have a good history of the taxes that they've been paying. So the rats that leave first usually make it to shore. All these other people that are trying to get out of Seattle will not be able to sell their homes. Those homes will become deserted. They'll become abandoned, just like Detroit. And what'll end up happening is they will be confiscated by the rats, or I should say by the street dwellers, because they know whose houses are empty, and they will start living in them, and they'll become meth labs or what have you for these indolent folks that they've been attracting. And so at least all this good property will not go to waste. It'll be utilized by these human beings that are literally leeches off of society. And that is how bad it gets. And that's the direction that people are going. But this country that I'm talking about is South Africa. They've officially began their program of seizing white-owned farms. The South African government recently, because obviously, you know, everybody knows that these white-owned farms is the source of all sorts of money and so forth. So they're going after that to redistribute it to the black folks, because this is social justice. And they offered two farms, $1.8 million each, and they're both valued at $18 million. So they basically gave them pennies on the dollar for it. The owners refused, and the communist government evicted them from their land. This is the beginning of a previously announced program that will apply to the entire country. There is little doubt that this will cause a decline in agricultural production, and it will also increase poverty and hunger. But the communist government places the political value of a single race above all others. And so if you start understanding the magnitude of that's what's happening, and that's what's been happening here in America. That is why we've been indoctrinated into believing that, you know, all whites are guilty, that, you know, we have to, you know, be ashamed of ourselves, that we need to pay recompense for, you know, all the sins of the world. And bottom line, America didn't invent slavery. America was imposed on slavery by the British Crown. As a matter of fact, the one nation that is probably more responsible for slavery today, as well as historically going 3,500 years before Christ, would be Africa. Because the Egyptian Empire was an empire that was built upon by slavery, and it utilized slavery. As a matter of fact, there's a good little story about it in the Bible where they actually emancipated slaves, not because there was a revolt or a civil war like what happened here in America, because we came to, let's say, most of us came to our senses as to what egregious, you know, crime we were committing. And I don't want to say it was a crime. It was a crime against society, but it was a welcomed norm of society for 5,000 years. So let's put this into context. We were the ones that were waking up and trying to take this off of our back. And we finally got to a point where abolition actually overruled the desires of slavery. It was only 900 slave owners, a little over 900, in South Carolina that voted to secede and caused the Civil War. So, as we move down this path, we clearly understand that it was really the white people of the abolition movement that really caused the end of slavery here in America. And so let's keep the historical facts straight. And I think that that's another crime that's going on, because they're continually trying to take away the historical facts and these historical monuments as if, you know, we're to blame. I want to see all of these students in South Carolina and, you know, all these places that want to get rid of these symbols of slavery and get them to go to Egypt and topple those pyramids. Those pyramids were a much longer stigma of slavery, and we look at those today, and that was literally a historical moment of slavery, because those people, those folks got emancipated by God. It wasn't by their own masters coming to, or I should say, a part of the society said, hey, this is just morally wrong. We need to actually live up to our principles that all men are created equal. So let's be clear. What's going on in South Africa is an abomination, and it is a fast track to what I would say communism. Now, before we go into hard break, I just wanted to remind everybody that I will be beginning the airing of my Mitchell Gerber series regarding his fight against the Chinese live organ harvesting that's going on in China as they go after, and they have political prisoners called the Falun Dong. And so I think that this is a very important topic as we talk about liberty and its loss and or the loss of liberty under very tyrannical rules such as the Communist Party in China. I want to get into that North Carolina story because we're just kind of touching on it, but I will do that when we come back from this hard break. So please stay tuned, and I will be right back after this. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And on Monday night, a group of about 300 protesters from the University of North Carolina, forgive me, I thought it was South Carolina, but from the University of North Carolina demanded that the officials remove a 105-year-old Confederate statue named Silent Sam. And then, instead of waiting for things to go through the course of appeals and what have you, they decided to tear it down themselves. As doing so, the students chanted against the police. Many of the protesters were rallying in solidarity with former UNC student who was facing criminal charges for covering the statue with red paint. Apparently, that's a crime, but tearing down the statue isn't a crime. I hope every single person that had their hands on any rope or had anything to do with it that were there, guilty by association, just like the way the progressives are trying to go after anybody that is in a room with somebody that might be and not even a white supremacist, like James Alsup, somebody that actually is speaking out against this anti-white rhetoric. And they're labeling him at this point as a white supremacist. And so I think it's really important that we, you know, hold to the standards and we literally punish these people to the maximum possible for the crimes that they're committing, because we cannot allow this type of thuggery and this type of civil unrest to become a norm in our society. So with that, I would basically tell you that it's more important that we start preserving and looking to preserving our history and our heritage. And when I say our heritage, I mean very specifically our constitutional republic heritage, that heritage of individual liberty, that narrative that has been lost amongst the academics, that is being silenced because most people, for some reason, have just been successfully inculcated in believing that individual liberty and individual sovereignty means white supremacy. And literally, that is the insane disconnect that they are trying to make. So anyway, I don't know if you heard in the news, but you probably have, but it seems like everything is being drowned out by this unfortunate murder of Tibbetts and of the Manafort and all of these, you know, these leading issues that have been popping up in the news cycle lately. And so, bottom line, if you haven't heard, because I know the Molly Tibbetts is a complete tragedy, and as a matter of fact, this just goes to support the concept that we have to start getting compliance to the Constitution. Here is another problem that immigration has just pointed out, but it is just one of the many. It's the same thing with the Common Core, abortion, energy, education. All of these things are all about compliance to the Constitution, period. I mean, these are tragic things that we're dealing with, but it's only going to get worse. Do you really believe that things are going to get better? I don't think so. Anyway, Imran Awan, the accused Pakistani IT spy in Congress who was working for, what's her name, Schwartz? Not Schwartz. You know who I'm talking about. Debbie Wasserman Schultz. That's who it was. Anyway, he is basically getting this. This is another judge that was seated by a bleeding heart progressive and is taking the law in their own hands by, you know, allowing this man to go free. Federal Judge Tanya Chutkan chose not to give any jail time to the former Democratic IT aide, Imran Awan, saying he has suffered enough. Apparently, you know, he's gone through heck already. Instead, he was given a 3 months of supervised release. The Justice Department, and so here's the sad thing. He's gone through trial. We cannot retry him. So what we have to do is we have to go after this judge. We have to start setting the standards. And if we need to be brutal about this, we literally need to be brutal and go after them and throw them in jail. And maybe we should throw them in jail where they've actually thrown and destroyed a lot of good people's lives in jail, because maybe they'll learn their, you know, maybe justice will be served that way, because it seems like justice is blind when it comes to really supporting the law. The Justice Department also gave him a pass despite bank fraud and the Inspector General's finding that Awan made unauthorized access to house computers. Awan is at the center of a string of alleged crimes in Pakistan. And so maybe we should just have him deported so that he can be tried over there, where they'll probably just execute him. And so maybe we can get some justice for what this man had done. But I think that we still have to go out after Wasserman Schultz. I mean, she's evil. She is a person that needs to be tried for treason, because everything she was doing was undermining our constitutional republic in trying to basically get Hillary the pass without having to go through the democratic process. I mean, the Democrats should be asking for Wasserman Schultz's head on a platter. I would think that the good Democrats would say, hey, you know, how dare you take that elitist approach with us? You know, we believe in democracy, but actually, unfortunately, so many of them are communists that they have begotten what they have they have reaped what they sow. Let me get into a couple Federalist Papers, because I promised you I would. And as I do this, I want you to ask yourself the question, are the words that GR is reading right now, are these the words of deceit and lies? Have the framers attempted to pull the wool over our eyes, or have we been lied to by our progressive professors and the like? I ask you that question to consider as I read these words. And this is Madison in Federalist number 48. And he says, the conclusion which I am warranted in drawing from these observations is that a mere demarcation of parchment, in other words, even though we've drawn these lines around the federal government on this parchment of the Constitution, of the constitutional limits, he goes on and says, of the constitutional limits of the several departments, is not a sufficient guard against those encroachments which lead to a tyrannical concentration of all the powers of government in the same hands. This is why in his Federalist paper, the next Federalist paper after this was Federalist paper number 49, and that was the methods in guarding against encroachments and using they called it a convention back then, but nowadays it the real essence of what they're doing is auditing the Constitution, as I claim in Republic Review. If you don't think I'm correct, please prove me I'm wrong, because I would gladly retire and go do, you know, hot pepper things that I would love to be doing right now. Anyway, Alexander Hamilton also basically piled on in Federalist Paper number 85, and he said, "We may safely rely on the disposition of the state legislators." See, he's pointing to the state legislators, the same as what Madison and Jefferson did in the Kentucky and the Virginia resolutions. Where did they go? They didn't go to, you know, call for an Article 5 convention. They didn't go and create the John Birch Society to start educating people. What they did was they went to the state legislators and they taught them their responsibility, and they informed them of their authority and got them to take a stand against federal tyranny. So as Hamilton says, "We may safely rely on the disposition of the state legislators to erect barriers against the encroachments of the national authority. If the foregoing argument is a fallacy, certain it is that I myself am deceived by it, for it is my conception one of those rare instances in which a political truth can be brought to the test of a mathematical demonstration." And that literally because, you know, the states are actually accountable and they're very close to the people, where the seat of government of the national government is literally removed from millions and millions and millions of people, hundreds of millions of people throughout the republic, that the state governments should be actually seeking what is in our best interest. And they should be recognizing when we are being bound by federal tyranny. And unfortunately, they haven't. Unfortunately, lawyers, politicians, and educators have hoodwinked us and have convinced them that the federal government has all of these authorities, and those have been lies. We have been lied to for over 150 years, and it's time we start waking up, my friends. As I said, and I want to mention this one more time, I am going to be having Mitchell Gerber on tomorrow in a 2-segment interview. And then later on, I am going to be having and playing some parts of audio clips that he has sent me, and we'll do some other follow-ons. So I'm going to have a small little series that'll be introducing you to him and his fight against the Chinese live organ harvesting. So I'm just calculating that there is a good reason for you to want to be tuned in tomorrow so that you can at least hear this and understand the magnitude of this problem, because it truly is a problem, and we need to start using it, like I've been saying, we need to use this as a fulcrum to start putting it back in the Chinese face. Are you kidding me? You guys want to do this? I'm sorry. You know, and we ought to start leveraging against American companies going in there to say, get out of China. You have no business being in China while they're doing these types of things. If they don't, that means that they're condoning that behavior. We have to condemn it. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. And I thank you for listening, and I will be back tomorrow with Mitchell Gerber and his fight against the Chinese live organ harvesting. God bless. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty.